Loveline.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Did you have a weekend?
Woo! It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, Dixon Medicine Specialist. What's up there, bud?
You have a good weekend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did a little work yesterday, but no big deal.
Good.
That's it.
Wow, you worked on the weekend. It was no big deal. Oh, what? Are you okay?
Well, you know, when I do this, I'm doing this TLC show.
Yeah.
And the TLC show, they have to film all these sort of, it's one of those slice of life shows.
Right.
And
you got to patch it together somehow.
Yeah. So every Saturday I have to sit and be interviewed.
Ugh.
But someone just puts a camera in front of me and asks me things, and I just wax on for about an hour and a half, and then they use 8 seconds.
But let me get this straight. It's just you talking, something you
just
hate.
Just me talking.
You hate about yourself, better yet.
Well, I just don't, I don't like having to perform, and I don't like having to rehearse, but I don't mind the part where I just yap.
You like talking, yeah.
Let me tell you this, speaking of TLC, TLC is awesome. TLC is, Comedy Central blows, and MTV always blew, and every place I've ever been associated, K-Rock. This station sucks. All the radio stations have always sucked.
TLC is treating you nice.
Well, TLC is, they're getting billboards, and they're getting commercials, and doing all that stuff. But something that reminded me of you is they're like, yeah, we're going to do all these big campaigns at the football games, college games, and pro games. We want you doing the coin toss at the UCLA game on the October 1st. And I said, oh.
Excellent.
Drew, that's over at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Drew lives in the Rose Bowl.
Practically.
A lot of people don't know
that. Every Saturday, my wife lives in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, big UCLA fan.
Yeah.
And Drew is so profoundly pee-whipped that he is forced to root for UCLA, even though he went to medical school at USC. And then when UCLA plays USC, he's forced to sit with the UCLA alumni.
But then I read for SC.
No.
Let's be fair. Yeah, I do.
Pee-whipped.
No, I do. I root for SC then. A little bit.
Wearing the powder blue and gold, cheering on the Bruins.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in his heart, rooting for USC.
As I've told you a million times, you get attached to your college. I got attached to the Lord Jeffs.
Sure.
Them I root
Amherst.
For.
Amherst. Yeah, they are perennial powerhouse.
Powerhouse. And I live and die by what happens to them. So SC, when you go to graduate school, you don't get quite so impassioned.
When Amherst played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl in 87, I believe it was one of the most exciting college football games ever.
But what you don't know is when they played Harvard in 1901. Classic.
Classic. And then when you go through the rosters of the NFL teams and you see all the Amherst alumni on there, I mean, practically the whole Ravens defense. I'm not mistaken. Now, just please, Ray Lewis. I'm pretty sure. Some of the guys have retired, of course, but
they've been replaced by others. I mean,
yeah,
it's just a constant farming of those.
Yeah, talent. I think it goes Amherst in terms of teams that have college teams,
Amherst,
programs, college
Texas,
programs.
Ohio State.
No, I think Miami. I think Florida State is up there and USC, Nebraska, but it's clearly
we
Amherst.
We dwarf all those. Yeah, I think
Tony Siragusa went to Amherst, did he not? Do you know Tony Siragusa?
No.
Drew, how is it you know so little? Tony Siragusa?
Yeah. Maybe. Tell me.
See, it could
clue.
Be funny. See,
give me another clue.
Tony Siragusa.
Give me another clue.
Tony Siragusa is like the 400-pound Italian nose tackle who was playing for the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl, when their defense was so dominant
like three years ago.
He's in all these TV commercials. He's just
huge
mammoth guy from like Long Island.
kind of know who he is. Yeah.
He's the one that in that really bad deodorant ad, and he goes into the club, and everyone falls down, and then he puts it on. He does this dance move where he's jumping on his hand at the end.
Drew, do you realize that fully three quarters of your life is spent with people explaining things to you that goes on in the world?
In the world, that's right. I'm too.
She's that actress with the blonde. She was in Herbie. He's that player who used to.
Adam.
There's that guy.
You only wish you were as cool as to not know what was going on in the world as the way I do.
Oh, my God.
It's just because I don't. These things aren't important to me.
They're not important to me either.
You cataloged them like the Bruder tapes.
No, look. Here's the thing. Capitals of cities, you know, street signs, makes of cars, all the things you see in life, they're not really important to anybody. You just know them because they pass through your field of vision so many times. Yes. You know Geraldo Rivera has a huge mustache. Is it important to you?
Right.
No. To me? No. Mm. It's not important to anyone. It's just, yeah, he has a big mustache. And if someone made a big mustache reference, you should theoretically laugh because you've seen Geraldo Rivera and his huge mustache.
Yeah.
All right. You hide behind the important thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, I like football marginally more than you, although you claim you like football. Saragusa going to Amherst would have been funny.
I definitely heard Saragusa's name. I couldn't place it.
Thank you. So.
Veal or venison?
All right. I'm Saragusa.
Where are we? How did this
Let me quickly get something done here.
Please.
We tonight, every caller who's over 18 that gets on the air will get two tickets to a new movie called Cry Wolf.
When's that coming out?
It's coming out, doesn't say on this. Isn't that interesting?
Well, coming soon. Okay.
Everyone who gets tickets will also qualify to win a trip to see Block Party, who is on the soundtrack. They'll be able to see Block Party anywhere in Europe. That list you're doodling on, all the sites in Europe that they're going to be performing.
Wow, that's why I never heard any of these
Belgium,
places.
England, Germany, Norway.
Haven't heard any of those. No? Keep going.
It's this Friday. Yeah, this Friday, You Lie, You Die, Cry Wolf in theaters everywhere.
Wow.
Friday, see?
Wow.
It's a movie about kids that basically, some students make a prank. They're sort of inventing a murder online. Mm. Guess what happens?
It comes to pass. That's like Weird Science.
Yeah.
It's sort of Weird Science meets Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Right. That's it.
Ooh.
Oh.
Write that down.
And we'll be announcing the winner this Sunday. Those of you who hear our Sunday show on Monday will get a Monday. In fact, you'll get contacted on Monday.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know, be a good way to thing to do is to find the slug line of the movie and try to match it to the movie. You know what I mean? Like in space, no one can hear you scream.
Right. Great game.
Good game, right?
Jeopardy. It's a Jeopardy category.
You know the answer?
Alien?
Yeah. True. You want to talk about Alien?
That was a deduction. Give me another one.
The first to die were the lucky. I don't even know what that one was. I always stood out, though. I remember thinking of that one. Well, lucky in a relative way, but not lucky like won the lottery.
Right.
Buddy gave him a Cadillac lucky. Marginally lucky.
Yeah, it could be a lot of different films.
But it's a good one. It's one of those ones that sounds good but doesn't mean anything. The first to die were the lucky.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a new show out where, in order to be a criminal,
you got to think like a rapist.
You see that?
I know it's the best part about the new fall lineup.
Wait, Nightmare on Elm Street. What did you say? And what was the other one?
In order to catch a criminal, he's gonna have to think like a criminal. Yeah, I always like that. And you know the one too. I like the one where the guy is. You want to talk about effed out premises? Where the guys he hunts serial killers. The problem is he has to think like a serial killer, and he has a lot of flashbacks. They're up in his head.
Right.
He's haunted by his gift.
By his gift of thinking like a serial killer. It makes him tap into the serial killer's actual thoughts.
Yeah. What's the name of that new show?
It's like Criminal or something. Yeah.
This week on Criminal, in order to catch. Wait, we got
a criminal, a thief.
He must think like a rapist. What word is that?
Tyrell?
Tyrell?
How do you pronounce your name?
Terrell.
Oh, how do you spell it?
T-E-A-R-L-E.
All right.
R-L-E.
Whatever. Yeah. That would screw us up even more.
That's not how you spell Terrell, is it?
That's Terrell. Tyrell.
Terrell.
Whatever.
Like Daryl, but with a T.
Yeah, but... But is it like Terrell? Is like Terrell Owens the same? Pronounced the same way?
Yeah, pronounced the same way. It was spelled different.
Yeah.
Quite a bit different.
I'm going to need you to change your goddamn spelling of your horrible name so you don't have to keep correcting. Well, what do? Correct somebody? How many times a week on average? 170 times a week?
Probably. Dude, I've had one teacher my entire school career get my name right.
Carol's going to Cardiff at UK. He's going to win this contest. I can feel it.
You go through your whole life correcting people, right?
Portsmouth. Yeah, I'm Terrell.
It sucks.
Well, change your spelling then, idiot, so people can pronounce it.
Dusseldorf trying to explain that.
All right. Here's all I'm saying. All these a-hole narcissist parents give their kids retarded names. They spell them differently. Of course, no one can make heads or tails of them. So everyone just goes, is it tur? And then you spend your child spends his entire life correcting authority, essentially. Whether it's the principal, whether it's the coach. Later on, it becomes a parole officer, becomes a cop, becomes a judge, and all that comes, transvestites. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. Your kid just has to correct people their entire life. Well, here's the deal. Your parents should be fined for this, number one, for whatever you've done to deteriorate society's fabric by having to correct everyone all the time. And secondly, if no one can pronounce your goddamn name, then change the way it's spelled. So you don't have to go through your whole life going, excuse me, you're wrong. Here's how I pronounce my stupid, retarded, fairy tale, made-up name, which, by the way, we were pronouncing correctly because you made it up.
Right.
It's just you've decided to pronounce something differently than phonetically, and you made it up.
Right.
That's
the
thing.
You've declared.
Yeah, it's like, no, you've not pronounced it correctly. Oh, yes, I have pronounced it correctly.
Here's what it is. My name's Terrell. How do you spell it? M-A-R-Y.
There you go.
That's it.
Just go
M-A-R-Y.
That way.
Yeah, that's
go
it.
All the way.
Yeah.
Go all the way.
Terrell. That actually I'd have a little respect for.
I would too. start Terrell with an M and just all right. Go all the way in the FU department.
That's a good idea.
All right. Kick your stupid parents in the groin for me if they're anywhere in the country. Go ahead.
All right. I was wondering what the long-term effects of doing mushrooms were.
Yeah, no one knows.
You don't know how to spell your name.
Yeah, you got a retarded name, but no one knows for sure, to tell you the truth. We are assuming that we're going to see what's something called excitotoxicity, which is something that happens from essentially all hallucinogens. Uh-huh. It causes your brain cells to push out chemicals that, or change the way chemicals come out of the cells and therefore are handled by the cells. And those chemicals that are actually a part of your brain's normal chemistry aren't packaged and contained normally and break loose inside the cell and create free radicals and destroy the cells.
Right.
So you end up causing brain damage. That's a long way of saying that.
All right,
how much
times.
And how much you have to use before you get anything significant, I don't know. But there's plenty of cell damage that occurs just with senescence and aging, and you want to keep everyone you got.
Right. Here's the here's why I have such a head of steam about this name spelling thing is for the first, how long do we do Loveline on MTV?
5 years, man.
Four or five years.
Yeah.
For the entire time we did it, I would beg the people who did the phone screening, who held up the card,
yeah,
who had the person's name on it, just spell the name phonetically so I don't seem like an idiot. Mm-hmm. Because what would happen is I would look up, and the only way we knew what calls to take is I would look up and there'd be a cue card, mm-hmm, and it would say S-E-E-E-N-D-Y, and I'd say, C-N-D, and the person just come on and go, Cindy. Now, I realize I look like a retarded person because I can't read or pronounce the name Cindy, which sounds very easy, but the reality is this idiot spells it completely different in a way you've never seen before, so you look like an idiot trying to sound it out.
Then they started putting on partial phonetic stuff
now,
for you.
No, remember? I would go back and go ballistic on these people because I would be like, don't, and they would go, but that's how she spelled it. And I would go, I don't care how she spelled it. Nobody can see. All they see me mispronouncing a name that everyone's heard of. They don't know how it's spelled.
Part of it, though, I remember them.
That's how she spelled. I don't care.
Then there was another thing, and then they'd come back and go, next time around, it would be spelled S-E-E. N-D-I-E.
I know.
And you'd go, well, why didn't you put C-I-N-D-Y?
No,
because you wanted it phonetically.
Yeah.
Just
write Cindy how you spell Cindy. I will recognize it.
Well, that was funny. That was the part that used to drive you
it
crazy.
It was like, look, I recognize the name Cindy. Just please goddamn spell it that way. No, she spells it with 11 Ys. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they would go to try to put it phonetically into something that didn't make any sense.
And I just realized I look like a retarded person because at home, to the viewer at home, I just can't read. I don't recognize the name Cindy. That's what the viewers at home.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no matter how many times I would say that, it would and it would come back. That's how she spells it. And that's this brings me to a larger point, which is let's just sign off on names and move forward. Yeah. Like words. Like, they're essentially words.
Well, basically, they're symbols. They're like letters. They really should be like, we're going to start changing the shape of A.
Well,
just to make a scribble. That's an A. That's my A.
But you don't spell exit 15 different ways on the freeway sign.
That's
the point. Just sign off. That's it. We'll decide which Cindy.
Adam, everyone's an individual. How dare you?
Yeah.
You're squashing their individuality.
Yeah.
Jackie. You're the man.
Hello?
Jackie. 28.
Jackie. Yeah.
Yeah. Jackie.
Yeah. I had a question. I recently had a failed marriage due to the fact that I got pregnant by somebody else. Nice. And it's not going very good, and I just wondered what the effects were on boys without mothers.
Well,
does that make sense? Sorry, I'm really nervous.
No, that's all right.
Do you want this child to be adopted by somebody? Is that what you're saying?
Mothers or fathers?
I want to just give it to the father that I got pregnant by.
Oof.
He's an okay person. It's just him and I don't do very well. We're like,
What is with you that you could do that? That's what we got to figure out.
Well, she had a horrible childhood.
Horrible, I guess. Were you just raised in an orphanage?
Listen, I listen to you guys every single night. Yes, you guys could play a million games with me and you all would win. So we don't need to go into that.
So go ahead and tell us. What happened?
Sexually abused from 2 to 14. My mother beat me until I was 14. My father left me when I was 8. My stepfather died when I was 13.
So here's the question to ask, Jackie.
You want
to
know.
Right. And actually, in a way, you're sort of transforming from an abandoning sort of person that we can't really understand to our hero. Because the reality is, given the upbringing you had, you may not be capable of parenting a child.
Yeah.
And on behalf of that child.
I don't know if it's really a hero, like absent mom.
Mom who doesn't who's realistic and doesn't go, I'm a great mom. I'm a great parent. I love my child.
I love my child.
Jackie, you realize you were damaged growing up, and it may affect your ability to be a parent, and maybe the dad would be a better person to do the job, perhaps. So there really is a question in this situation, what would be better for the child? And you can't really predict those things, but it doesn't sound like a great situation.
Well, let me just backtrack for a second. You were in a marriage.
Yeah, for 7 years to an absolutely very perfect person, and after I left him, I realized that it was wrong.
You couldn't tolerate it. You couldn't tolerate it because it was intimate,
close.
He was stable, and you need chaos because of your background.
Exactly, and I created all the chaos. I'm supposedly bipolar and all that, and I know I'm crazy. I realize that. I have episodes. I freak out. I cry. Okay. I do all that.
All right.
Let me
let me just get a little history here. Do you have any children from this guy?
Yes, I have two. I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old from my first husband.
All right. Well, you have now there's 3 kids?
Yes.
All right. I suggest punt, pass, and kick competition. Let's see how far we can get them away from via the old.
No.
Yes, you have an 11-year-old now representing the Minnesota Vikings, Timmy Johnson. The crowd's cheering. He's punting the 4-year-old.
Oh, my.
See, that's what we do with the 3. We just face them. Whatever your best neighbor is, whatever your favorite. It doesn't have a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Favorite neighbor, just go ahead and punt the kid that direction. All right.
Jackie.
Yes.
How are the other two doing?
They're doing fine. I mean, I'm really not a bad mom. I'm not. I do the best with my kids that I can, that I'm physically able to, and the mental ability that I have.
I know you're doing the best you can. A raccoon would do the best a raccoon could, too.
Oh, come on. I was listening to you guys the other day. You were talking to this one girl, and you called her, like, a neurotic, crazy person with intelligence. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of what I am. I have intelligence. I know I'm crazy. I can talk myself out of it.
Well, let's say you're a neurotic, crazy person with insight. Okay,
yes.
We'll give you the insight.
All right. So now you have this kid with this other guy, and how old is this kid?
5 months.
5 months. And this other guy, does he want to raise this child?
Oh yeah, he's said it many times. You know, like if this has to be over and we can't handle each other, I will take this baby. Don't worry about it. I will take him.
What about giving the child up for adoption? Is that something you have control over?
No, I couldn't. As crazy as I am, there's no way I could mentally handle that. There's Why? No way.
So you mean you want some sort of joint custody with this guy?
Yeah, like knowing that I'd be able to come back to him if I needed to.
Okay, well, there you go. You know what you need to do. That's what you need to do.
I don't know, though. I think that's selfish and unrealistic. Yes. What you're doing here is you're jeopardizing this kid's mental health and possible life so you can have an exit strategy. Like, well, but I feel so you could sleep at night. Like, I could always see him tomorrow.
And by the way, here's
to.
How this child is going
to do that. I don't
Jackie,
want to do that.
Here's how this child. Hey, here's how this child's going to feel, which is she kept those two, but not me.
No. Is it a girl?
No, it's a boy. That's why I called. That was the question. I know I've heard you.
Okay.
Adoption for this child.
Okay. Here are the two choices. Adoption, or if this guy, and I imagine this to be a fantasy answer, this guy who is the father, biological father, is stable, has a job, can stay in a committed relationship with sane people, has a home, has a safe environment, is a loving parent, is responsible. Is this guy all the above?
Yes, I just bought a house at the beginning of the month. I just bought a car. I mean, he just got his raise. You know, I mean, we're all doing really good.
It's still going to be Adam, though.
What does this guy do for a living?
The welder. He does layout.
I felt welders coming from her.
It's a big setback.
Yeah, I can feel it.
It's a huge setback. And he has his own home.
Yeah, we just bought our own house.
I know you keep saying we, but I thought you were getting out of there.
I don't know what to do. That was my question. Is my son going to be really messed up if I were to leave him? And would it be better if I just go into the military and make my life better that way?
Well, what about your other two kids?
Their father is way okay. He makes a lot of money, and they don't have to worry about anything.
Hold on one second. You want to find out what a lot of money is? Because I'm.
Well, yeah.
38 grand a year?
64.
64. Going, huh? Jackie?
No, I know what you're talking about. I just mean, like, us peons, us normal people.
How much is a lot of money?
He makes at least 60 to 70 by himself.
True. Bingo. Look at him. Excited. Oh, I was kidding at 38, Jackal.
No, he works. He's a superintendent for a construction site that does air conditioning.
And All right. Well, he's on easy street then.
He
shows up to work in a mink-lined Rolls Royce every day, and they roll a carpet out as His Highness approaches the construction site. All right, now wait a second.
Wait, you know what?
All right, now hold on. This guy, you know why? I'm only mean when people that are effed up crap out multiple kids, because let me just give everyone a quick speech. Please let me give everyone a quick speech. The only troubles we have in society is this. All the folks that were left behind in New Orleans, all the people on the roofs, all the crime, all the prisons, that's all it's filled with. We don't want to talk about it. We pretend like somehow your upbringing has nothing to do with how you turn out as an individual. It has everything to do with it. Every criminal, every person on drugs, for the most part, every repeat offender, everyone who gets into the system, everyone who costs millions of dollars to process, you find all these people, you find abuse, you find neglect. That's all. If we start shaping society that all kids are accounted for, all kids are taken care of, and that poor people or people with histories of mental instability or who have had horrible abusive childhoods themselves limit themselves to get a ton of, it's like lots of therapy versus not so many kids. What we got is tons of kids and no therapy from that person. Mm-hmm. And now go look at the Superdome. That's what you end up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all. When are we going to realize this? When are we going to address it? I'm sure everyone knows it. Everyone thinks about it. Nobody says anything because everyone's a pussy. What the hell's going on with the phones now? Jackie.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Drew's got three kids. You have three kids. Drew's three kids, we don't have to worry about. Your three kids, that could be an issue. We may have to step in. Oh, there may be home alert bracelets, you know, arrest.
There may be
more kids being cranked out. There's a system.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've grew up in the ghetto, don't get me wrong, but I climbed my way out, and I have done very, very hard, and I've worked my butt off.
All right.
To get
well,
where I am.
That's the only reason I'm being tough on you. So, look, here's the deal. You have your two biological kids are being raised by the air conditioning contractor, and you're going to.
I have joint custody with him. I get my kids every single day. I get off work at 11 o'clock. I have my kids. I get up every single day. I'm with my kids. I drop them off at 2 o'clock when I go to work. I pick them up when I get off work. I have.
Where do they sleep?
They sleep with me.
Those two kids.
On the weekends.
He gets them on the weekends, and now you're looking at getting away from this guy you're living with?
A new guy.
The new guy?
Yeah.
New guy. Not like now, but within the next couple of years, I really do want to go into the military. And I've heard you say, Adam, to this one kid that called in, it was like 19, you have nothing better to do with your life. You're a worthless drug addict. Get off your butt and go into the military.
Yeah, that's good. That guy didn't have three kids who was supposed to be a mother to.
But can I do that at 30?
Not with three kids.
No,
you have three kids. Your job is that.
Your job is mom.
You get off the butt. Get off your butt and be a good mom.
But with my
commit yourself to that.
But with having such a problem in my brain, I sometimes feel like I'm not capable of anything.
Right.
And the only way to do that
that's why. Here's the thing, Jackie. You were abused. And that's
badly.
A tragedy. You were badly abused, and that's a tragedy. And at a certain point in your life, you were a victim. Now, you're not a victim because you crapped out three kids that you're not interested in or that you're not chemically or emotionally able to take care of, and that's why I'm yelling at you. If you would take the clock back 20 years, I'd be yelling at the guy that was abusing you for what he was doing to his child. Now I'm yelling at you for what you're doing to your children. You see, it's called Hakuna Matata.
The cycle of life.
Right. So you have three goals. A, no more goddamn kids.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah, you knew it after the first one, but you still had two more. B, do your work, baby. Therapy, whatever it takes. And three, your job is being a mother to these three children.
And if you can't do it, I still think adoption for that one kid, the sooner the better.
Not after six months of age, though.
No way.
You let a welder raise this kid, and you're going to go off to the military.
On the other hand, the fact that she can't tolerate being with the welder almost is an endorsement to his capability of possibly, at least we know he is not crazy enough to be interesting to her.
Yeah. Hey, look, here's the deal, everybody. Here's how it works. Here's the math equation. You stop the Jackies of the world from crapping out the kids. We have a utopia in about 25 years. No more prisons, no more judges, no more courts, no more nothing. Leave your doors open at night, everybody. Leave your briefcase on your car seat and the windows rolled down because that's it. That's how it works. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to think about it. You think somebody gets born into poverty with an abusive family and an absentee father's got the same shot in life as one of Drew's kids? Of course not. It's not even close. I don't know why that can't be looked at. I don't know why nobody figures these things out. I think the government is aware of it. I just don't think they do anything about it. All right. They're too busy telling you how fast to drive, what license plate to have on the side of the car. Too busy putting goddamn cameras up at the intersection to go ahead and get into topics that really matter. You all disgust me. We'll be back.
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair.
Oh. We'll be right back.
Yeah, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You ready to rock, Drewski?
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go, Drewski Bobble?
Yeah.
I swear I was laughing over the weekend trying to think about David Allen Greer naming off.
100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol,
right.
Ethanol estradiol.
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Put that wiffle ball bat down. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
I am telling you, for my birthday, I want you to get a list.
How about for Christmas?
Or for Christmas.
Because I want to get around to it
soon. You come to my home. I will invite David and you. I will tell David I'm throwing a Christmas party, I won't invite anybody but him. He's going to show up and be like, what's happened? I don't smell any turkey or anything. It's just be him and you, and you're going to have a printout of 700 names for hormones. They're in birth control pills.
Yeah.
And then you're going to read it to him, and he's just going to repeat it to me as a blank name.
And we'll do it sort of like in rounds, like a boxing match. Stop, take a little break, take it, bell drink, ring, come back in.
Get a little Gatorade in you, and then you'll come back. Because when we did it last, whatever, Wednesday or Thursday, we probably, what'd you have, about five or six of them?
Names at four.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Was that all four of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You're going to have to come up with like 1,400, though. You understand?
No problem.
And you can start getting, you know, it doesn't have to all just be birth control.
No,
stuff.
I got some good names. I got some
good
names.
What, you got to give me a couple just to see if I think Dave
can. Think of some, like Cepacol. I mean, Cepacol. Cefalexin.
Cefalexin.
That'd be a good one.
That would be an awesome one for Tag to do.
I got Omnicef.
Omnicef.
A lot of good ones. Let's think. Labetalol.
don't give me any more.
Natalol.
Clonidine. Here's the deal. You stand next to David Allen Greer. You feed him that name.
Losartan.
He feeds it back to me like a fat black mother.
Yeah.
Yelling for his child out in the yard.
Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die laughing.
Just, A. Anderson, one more time. I can't get enough.
100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol, is...
Ethanol estradiol!
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Put that wiffle ball back down. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
See, it gets funnier. Now we'll go through...
How could it get funnier? What's that happened?
It's we're going to go through like 2,200 names. Okay, it's going to take all night.
I'm not going to be able to do it. I need the breaks. I may have to have just like a robot announce them because I'm going to die laughing.
Jennifer?
I'll write them up and we'll have like somebody else.
Yeah.
We'll have people that normally sit around this show announce them because they don't laugh.
Ann or Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren, perfect. Yeah,
Lauren would be perfect. Jennifer?
Yeah.
Oh, we could have got, you know, when Engineer Chris was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a stone face.
He'd come back and do it.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yes.
23?
Yes. Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi,
what's Jennifer. Happening?
What's going on?
Huh?
Well, I have a bizarre situation, I guess. I work in an adult store, and one of the customers and I, we started off flirting and have kind of progressed and have started seeing each other.
How do you flirt with somebody when you're like a clerk at a...
Well, she's not necessarily a clerk.
Uh-oh.
If she's cute, she may work at the peep show or something.
No, I do work in an adult store, and he's just a really nice guy to be...
No, what do you do there at the store?
You sell merchandise and you rent videos out.
She's a clerk.
You just work behind that super high counter.
I'm down on the floor.
Listen, at the adult places,
everything's up.
Everything's up. It's weird. It's like
you'd be up as high as possible those guys running around.
It's like a cabbie dispatch, or something. Like you got to step up four stairs and you have to approach the bench. You want to buy a dildo?
Right.
Please approach the bench with your anal plug. I mean, the counter is like 11 feet high.
Like I'm saying, if you had to work in that store,
you want to pay the guy, you just pull your wallet out, you jump up and throw it over your head. You do like a sky hook.
If you worked at a swamp, would you sit in the swamp?
It's like being a swamp buggy. Yeah. It's awesome. So you're behind the counter.
How does that conversation go? What are you flirting about?
I mean, we just talk about...
No, I mean, how did he strike up the conversation in the first place? Was it, again, he's tossing a butt plug up to you?
Really good.
He broke the ice with the, do you have the Ass Master series? Would that be under fetish or anal lovers? Okay, yeah.
I don't use it, just for a friend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know what? I noticed you had Ass Masters 1 through 14. I noticed 12 wasn't there. Is that, okay, out of print. Can you back order? Okay. And Ubangus Uranus would be in the same. Huh. They'd be there. Okay, thanks, sweetie. Hey, what's your name?
Right. Did he go like that, Jennifer?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
No, I mean, he asked us different questions, you know, as far as the different videos, but it was basically, as he was leaving one night, he said, you know, you look really good tonight, and he's not, like, creepy as far as looks or his attitude or anything, so we just started talking, and he's a regular. He comes in about every night.
And about every night, and he's not creepy or anything, but what is he doing there every night? I mean, here's my
whole
thing.
How much creepier do you need to be, by the way?
Who? All right, I got a ton of things to say. Who is renting porn in this year of Ought 5? You know what I mean?
And doesn't look on the web or something, you mean?
A disc is like $4, and you can get it like at the gas station or the car wash or something. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
renting.
Who's
renting
like going in and renting pornography? Huh. Or if you're buying pornography, just go ahead and plop down $60, walk with 8 or 10 titles, and then hunker down in the Spankatorium for a few weeks. What is this part where you're going in every night?
Maybe it's just to see her.
I think it is. Is he renting porn?
Yeah, he rents one porn a night.
Does anybody else do that? Have you just noticed he's the only one that has
No,
done
there's
that?
Actually quite a few regular guys that do that. They have standing accounts with us. And
on VCR or on...
No, DVD.
It's all DVD?
Are any of them under the age of 30?
I honestly don't
know. What I mean? Maybe these are old-timers just get stuck in this mode.
You're just
renting
DVDs?
Maybe they just can't get out of the habit or whatever.
This particular guy, he's 38. I see. So he is a little bit older than I am.
Yeah. And what kind of movies does he rent?
That's the thing. We haven't had sex yet. We've kissed, that type of stuff. But they're bondage, they're anal, they're stuff I'm not into. So what I'm concerned about is...
Well, you know, it's in a way, there's a little sort of a diabolical quality to this. The guy sort of declares himself up front. Yeah, that's what this guy's into. All right,
well, but my question is, just because if he's renting that, is that something he'll want to actually do, or is he just curious?
I would say yes. I would say
I'm
going
to go way out on a limb. Way out on the anal limb here and go with the app. And how prophetic was
the
my
question
bangus
is
Uranus 5 minutes ago?
Some guys, though, are in need of high levels of arousal just because they aren't with a person for so long.
Right,
you know
and
what
he
I mean?
Said that. He said he's been without a partner for a year now. And
the reality is, though, he'll start going down that path again later,
all
too.
Right, but Jennifer, what's up with you? Big ass? What's going on?
I've been through domestic violence, so I've taken a break from dating altogether.
Again, it's
been about a year and a half.
Way to deal with the domestic violence is to go work in a porn shop. And there's no guys,
right.
No CD guys.
No, well, I go to school during the day. This is not a lifestyle for me. This is not somewhere where I'm going to be 5 years from now.
Junior college?
Yes, I'm going through nursing.
I'm going to go back with, really, how much do you weigh?
I am slightly overweight. So.
Yeah. You cannot be a nurse unless you're clinically morbidly obese.
No, that's not true.
No, it's true.
And work in a porn shop.
Well,
that
no, you have to be. I have seen some nursing students that just, you know, when they put the scrubs on.
Well,
I have seen them look like an apartment that was being fumigated.
Like the sheets being thrown on the furniture.
I'm talking about the actual building that's been tented.
I see.
I have seen some of the biggest women I've ever seen as wearing those like orange
or
purple scrubs.
I want you to think about how thankless that job is and how codependent it is.
Yes.
And what kinds of heritage tends to go with choosing that sort of career? Abuse, and then the abuse goes into keeping people away with the big body.
Yes. Right? I mean, here's the thing. You could, once in a while, you get a crazy Asian nurse and they go 80 pounds. But
Once
in a while. But if you go anything other than that, you're looking at three bills at least. Jennifer.
Yeah.
I don't trust this guy. I don't like the idea that you're working in a porn store. I don't like the idea that you're thinking about dating the anal fetish guy.
It's generally not something a great idea.
And you know what's going on here, Jennifer? Your self-esteem was injured.
Desperation meets opportunity.
You're a little bit desperate, and this guy's sort of gobbling you up. There's nothing wrong with you. You can have real relationships with real guys. You don't have to work at a porn store, and you don't have to date the dregs that come into the porn store. You were physically abused. That means your parents are bad guys, not you're a bad guy. You understand?
Yeah. No, I wasn't abused by my parents. I was molested by my cousin growing up, and then I've been through two very serious domestic violence issues, and they were pretty bad.
Right.
So it wasn't my parents.
Yeah. All right. Forget about your parents, but you're looking for number three. You're gonna get the hat trick of domestic abuse if you hook up with Mr. Anal Bondage Guy.
Right.
Just get a gig somewhere other than in a porn store. Focus on your nursing. Just have a normal thing. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, ladies. There's a nice guy out there for all of you. There absolutely is. And you ones who don't feel great because you don't look as good as you'd like to look in a skirt or a pair of ski pants, there's plenty of guys for you, too, out there. You see them everywhere you go all day long. Go to the mall. There's some guy, and he's got some chicks. He's got a big ass, and who cares?
He's boring.
He's boring. She's got a big ass.
But
everything's
fine.
He's
boring, and that's what they can't quite tolerate.
All right. Partially blind. Let's take a quick break, Drew. Yes?
Yes.
We'll be right back after this.
You have 5 seconds.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
2.
Back in a minute.
1.
Huh? Yeah. Drew, start talking. I got you.
I want to remind people that all callers who get on the show tonight will receive 2 tickets to see Cry Wolf. And this movie is about a group of students who exploit the news of a recent murder. Their seemingly harmless prank turns terrifyingly real as a killer stalks them one by one. Basically, as Adam said, this Nightmare on Elm Street makes weird science. Mm. They create an online character to try to freak everybody out, and it comes true.
Good talking.
And everyone who wins, everyone who gets tickets tonight, everyone over 18 who calls, qualifies to win a trip to see Block Party from the movie soundtrack. They have a movie soundtrack called Cry Wolf, interestingly. And they will be able to follow them anywhere in Europe. They've got a huge tour. We've got a list of like 40 different cities they're going to be in. You can follow them anywhere. Mm. And the movie comes out this Friday. You Lie, You Die.
You do.
Cry Wolf in theaters everywhere.
Yeah.
We'll announce the winner next Sunday.
You Lie, You Die.
That's the tagline?
Yeah.
IMDb's got another one for it.
What?
Oh, it does? You bang us, you're in it.
What is it?
Drew, come on, do that one.
Nobody believes a liar even when he's telling the truth.
I like You Lie, You Die.
I like You Lie, You Die, or better, You Bang Us, Uranus.
Not Uranus, Uranus. You Bang Us, Uranus.
You Bang Us, Uranus. You Bang Us, Uranus. That might be nice. If I ever do a movie, that's going to be the slug line.
I have no doubt.
Just to create a little confusion and buzz. What is this movie, You Bang Us, Uranus?
I think I could spell it, too.
Oh, yeah. Tia?
Hello?
What's up? Let me play a little Germany or Florida, Drew.
Right. Hold on, Tia.
Bree's been on hold for 1,000 years. Right. Bree?
Yeah. Adam.
Corolla. Yeah, I think it's catching on. Hey,
Bree. Gusto, too.
Yeah, nice job. You sound sweet.
Oh, thanks.
Let's hear the David Allen theme song. Mixed in with the black children's names.
Better got here than black kids. Zoomed up, down, down. Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
Yeah.
I like the opera one, too.
Well,
oh, really?
Yeah, that one's cool.
I'm not sure if he's going to come up with that.
Mm, we'll see.
Would you rather hear Ethanol Estradiol?
Germany or Florida?
100 micrograms of Ethanol Estradiol, which is...
Ethanol Estradiol!
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Norethindrone! Put that wiffle ball back down. Come in the house!
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
All right, okay. Bree. Go ahead.
Come in the house, Bree.
A woman is in the hospital with third-degree burns tonight after she tried to kill a spider colony in her garage. She had discovered the colony and had first decided to kill them using hairspray. When this didn't work, she tried to burn them with her lighter. This explosive combination caused her garage to blow up and left her with severe burns. Germany or Florida?
How did she blow? Maybe she was like trying to.
Well, it wouldn't cause her. Hairspray is exquisitely flammable.
But maybe she was trying to torch it with the hairspray and blew the
can. Do you understand that napalm is not as flammable as Aquanet?
Interesting.
I mean, hairspray is the most flammable substance known to man.
Wow.
And it's weird to spray that all over your head.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, because you blow out some candles and your head goes up like a Roman candle.
Woof.
Okay, so...
I'll say Germany.
I don't think it caused it to blow up, though.
This it just caught weird... on fire. She caught it on
she
fire.
She caught something on fire.
Yeah. I think she was using like a blowtorch.
Yeah, I like that. You know, the Germans have a rich history with incineration of people.
Uh-huh.
Normally, the Germans like to just burn people. I mean, that's their thing. Like, hey, let's round up Jews and burn them.
Right.
That's their thing. You know what I mean? That's what they're great at. you know, that's...
And cars.
They make good cars, but they're even better at burning human beings.
Right. That's
what Germans normally do. But in this case, I'm going Florida.
Okay. What do you got, Bree?
Okay. The answer is Germany.
Oh,
yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I told
you. Thank you, Bree. Well done.
Wait, what can't those people burn?
Wait.
Can I ask something of Anderson?
Really fast.
Please. Okay. At the end of last year, like the very last best of, like he played a really like a weird little clip like of a bunch of drops of you guys, and it was really funny.
All right.
Anderson,
I have no idea.
Can you resurrect it?
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I remember I was running. I was running short on one of them, and I played that song that I made of you, Adam, called Millionaire.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, maybe I'll find it.
Well, let's play get the Drew Shuffle out too. All his old songs.
Yeah,
I erased the ones I didn't do. I didn't really erase them. I'm kidding.
All right. Dust off some of those old ones, and we'll play them when we come back, Bray.
Yeah, keep your food, Adam. You can eat while we do it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody,
that was Anderson's attempt at French.
Oh, it was.
That was trois deux. Oh. Go.
Oh, sounded pretty good.
That was one.
Yeah, one's
Yeah.
Phone number. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. There's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam Carolla. Got myself a little show out on Comedy Central called Too Late with Adam Carolla, or Too Late with Moi, as I like to keep it the French team. Monday through Thursday, 11:30. Drew?
Yeah.
Were we going to, was Anderson, as per requested, going to play some oldies but goodies from the Loveline archives?
Anderson? Here comes one.
Pee on this stick.
It's mine.
It's the Dr. Drew
makes
Shuffle.
Me sick. Pee on this stick.
That's your high horse getting out of
makes
the barn.
Me sick.
If I find you stealing my underwear again, here's what's going to happen.
Ass. Stuff like this. Makes me sick.
You're fat.
Ass.
You're fat.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
You can say ass.
You're overweight.
Yeah.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled peyote buttons and stayed up all night but felt no effect.
It's called intimacy.
Can I say that?
This is not acceptable.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Not acceptable.
Pee on this stick.
Not acceptable.
Boiled peyote button.
Not acceptable.
You're overweight.
Not acceptable.
Can I say
that?
Wow. That's a good one.
What's wrong?
Here comes the boogie.
Oh, it's still me.
Ow!
Yeah.
Find you to have sex with me. Gee, it hurts to have sex with me. Faggot better have sex with me. I want to have sex with me.
I was born.
So I had anal sex. Gee, it hurts. Still a virgin. Tried to be straight, or I thought I should be straight, and I was confused. You know, pee on this makes me sick. Hurts when I urinate. Makes me sick. Anal sex makes me sick. This guy's penis makes me sick. I've had anal sex, but felt no effect. Got these lesions. Gee, it hurts. Still a virgin. Makes me sick. It's called intimacy. Can I say that?
Ow!
You're fat.
Ow!
You're gay. Confused. You're sick.
You're overweight.
You're still a virgin. You're dysfunctional. Not acceptable.
Dr. Drew is right.
Wow. I forgot the dysfunctional, not acceptable part at the end of that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was solid.
Yeah, those were both Dooley.
Yeah, those are old engineer Dooley.
Is this the one that was sent in for Adam?
No, this is the one that I made like a year and a half ago.
Okay, all right.
But then I just,
Let's hear it. Oh, yeah, I remember this
I'm going to say something amazingly profound right now. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
I like this one. I don't remember this.
Really?
My boyfriend literally.
Why?
All you screwed up people. You can't articulate yourself any better than that. People.
I did some gay porn with my mother, who I had sex with.
Oh, come on. Oh, no.
He had a little yeasty on the back roof. All right, I'm giving you oral sex starting now. I just got done whacking off to my mom.
Mommy?
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. Drew is so jealous of my back roof. I'm the smartest of all the blue-collar guys, and I'm stupid. The point is if I can do it, anyone can do it.
My boyfriend, literally a millionaire.
Yeah.
Man. I like that one.
That sucks.
No way.
Oh, it
that's
sucks.
Funny.
Yeah.
It was a pick-me-up to let everyone know that they could be a millionaire like you.
All right. Tia?
Why do you hate that one so much, Corolla?
Yes.
Tia?
Anderson's offended.
28.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to tell you guys that, Dr. Drew, I think you're brilliant. And, Adam, what you were saying earlier about parents and how their actions affect their kids, I just think is right on. And I just wanted to let you know that, first of all. my question is, it was March of 2004, I realized that I had a severe drinking problem, and I admitted myself into a rehab for 4 days. Basically, when I wouldn't drink, I would get tremors so bad I thought I was having a heart attack.
Well, you're having near DTs, and that can be a fatal problem, so you have to treat it.
Why do you say near DTs?
Well, true DTs is cardiovascular collapse. You'd be on a ventilator and IVs and a monitor unit. But the other thing that we've now learned about the alcohol withdrawal syndrome is that when you get significant withdrawal, it looks as though there's actually brain damage occurring as a result of the withdrawal. So there's a medical reason to have your withdrawal treated above and beyond just the safety of suppressing the withdrawal.
What made you realize on that date that you had a problem?
Well, it wasn't necessarily the date. It just, it progressed, and over time I realized that when I would try to quit drinking on my own, that I would get really sick and I would...
But his question is very appropriate here, which is, why did you decide you needed to stop? What made you come in that day?
I was basically killing myself.
How did you know that?
How did I know that?
You've been killing yourself. I go through this with every...
I know.
Wait, wait. You gave us
a March 23rd, 2002.
I checked
myself into rehab because on that day, I knew I had a problem.
You got to understand.
And then you're like, what happened that day? Huh? Oh, I'd been drinking for a while.
Yeah.
I know, but why that day? Okay. You started with the date.
You got to understand, every single patient enters my unit, I go through that exact discussion. I sort of amuse myself with it because they'll say, oh, I got tired, I scared. Well, why today? Well, you know, this has been going on a long time. Yeah, it's been going on like 5-8 years.
Yeah, why today?
Why'd you decide to come in today? And denial, part of denial, the way it works is it prevents them from really feeling the depths of what has happened to them. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody's really going to turn it around, they usually come in because something scared them, something happened that led them to believe they are going to die.
Tia doesn't seem to have that.
Oh, no, she's got it in there. What made you think you were going to die? What made you think you were going to die?
Well, it wasn't only that. What you said just actually triggered. There was an occurrence the night before where basically I wasn't acting like myself at all. I was trying to break down my back door because my husband locked me out because he realized that I had a bottle of alcohol that I was hiding from him.
And that frightened him.
Oh, okay.
Right. Your husband
laid down the law.
Well, basically, yes.
You can't imagine
why you couldn't spit that out an hour and 40 minutes ago.
You can't
imagine
how. Wait, hang on a second, T. You, Adam, I'd say 4 times out of 10, I open the chart and I see the police brought him. Court order,
and that's
and they can't come up with that rehab.
No, they'll go.
Oh, I just got tired of this. Yeah. They can't. That's
all right. Your husband said he was going to divorce you if you didn't go into rehab.
No, actually, he didn't. I just knew that that's what I needed to do.
It scared her.
You knew that after your husband screamed at you, you have to stop drinking, and we're going to leave you.
No, it was more that I was afraid that I was completely not acting like myself. Normally, I would never have done something like that.
In fact. The point where your husband locked you out of your house, that neither here nor there.
Oh, it had quite a bit to do with it, yeah.
All right, well, stop. All right.
No, let's hear a question.
Nah, I'm done with her.
Oh, come on, Sarah.
Screw off. Stop arguing with
me. You're still mad
at
Anderson. You're mad at Anderson.
No, I'm not mad at Anderson. I'm trying to get her to admit that basically the reason she went to rehab is because her husband drew a line in the sand.
Yes.
She keeps going back to, I just knew I knew it was time to.
It's precipitated the crisis.
You got a guy yelling at you. He's not letting you into your own home.
Yeah, you can't. Alcoholics don't think like that, though.
Good.
Yeah.
They can think on hold for a while. Melinda?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll? Ooh, you're calling from Rape Bank.
Yeah. Burbank.
Well, it used to be called Burbank. Until
some call it Burbank.
Some of the old-timers still call it Burbank, but all the new folks that have tried to either drive or walk through the city and have gotten chicken-ass tickets millions of times have changed it to the new name, which is Rape Bank, because that's what the cops do to the citizens over there. But go ahead, Melinda.
The Burr has an acronym. It's for being urban rape.
Right.
And
that's what it is.
You know, and so it just they shortened it.
You've ever gotten a jaywalking ticket in Burbank, Melinda?
Never.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Possibly later today. And also, I mean, I hope you made up the name Melinda, because if any city officials from the city of Burbank are listening and realize there's someone who's made it to 19 years of age who lives in their city who's not yet gotten a jaywalking ticket, they will come after you.
They'll come to the home invasion.
Yeah, because their plan is no citizen of this fair city should not receive a jaywalking ticket by their 16th birthday. So this is going to be a Logan's Run type situation for you. And then not even pulled over for any chicken-ass reasons?
No, actually, I'm not really in Burbank all the time because I go to school in Pasadena. I've made that choice because I wanted to study art, so...
She's at the art center in Pasadena.
You still have to return to Rape Bank, though, every night. All right.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What's going on?
Well, I just had a question. I tend to masturbate a lot. I do it, like, maybe, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times a day. Sometimes I'll do it never, and sometimes I'll do it all the time. It just completely depends.
Let me write that down. What'd she say, the first one?
Sometimes never.
Sometimes never.
And sometimes all the time.
All right. I got a pretty good idea what's going on. All right.
How many days a week is it frequent? Is it an all-the-time day? How many days a week are all-the-time days?
Sorry, repeat that?
How many days a week is it an all-the-time day?
I would say 4 out of 7, maybe 5.
And the other day is none?
Yeah.
Okay. And were you sexually abused growing up?
No, not at all.
How old were you when you started doing this?
I was probably in like 8th grade or so. Mm-hmm.
Were you living in a very chaotic family?
My dad was sort of, you know, on and off, kind of like, it was like a rough, like, upbringing kind of thing. It wasn't ever, like, sexual. He was always very,
I understand,
like,
but it's one of the
he was
things.
He in a bad mood.
Yeah, one of the common
things. He would come home with 5 jaywalking tickets and be in a horrible mood.
One of the common phenomenon that develops is children that are living in chaotic and disturbing family systems start to use these kinds of means of self-regulating. Like, younger kids will masturbate and do inappropriate sexual things in public and or towards their peers. They won't be sexual, but they'll be sort of inappropriately, you know, activating that system, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come from a very rough family system as an adolescent, it's sort of more common that this kind of thing gets going. Mm-hmm. Now, you could also be bipolar. Was there any physical abuse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having been an abuse victim sort of, again, gets this sort of energy going.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be sexual abuse. The sexual abuse would sort of throw much more chaos and character problems into the picture here.
Mm-hmm. People want to know why I have such an axe to grind with the city of Burbank. They gave me a jaywalking ticket many years ago for crossing at a light in the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop said that I stepped off the curb after the light started blinking, the don't walk thing, even though I still slowly walked across the intersection and stood on the curb on the other side long before the signal changed. And he zipped over the same direction I walked, by the way. He went the same direction behind me after I got on the curb. That's how you know the light didn't change. And he wrote me a jaywalking ticket. And I told him, this is crazy. I'm at the signal. I'm in the crosswalk. I just walked across. I'm standing on the other side. I don't even know what we're doing here. He said, no, I'm writing you one. And I said, look, here's what we could do. We could save you some time. We could save me some time. I'm going to fight this ticket because I didn't do anything wrong. And he said, knock yourself out. And he handed me the ticket. And went in, made a court date. Took 2-3 trips to the courthouse. I think you pay them in advance,
course,
too. And then they give the money back. And then the third or fourth time I showed up, then I got my court date. Hey, let me explain the court date. It's not like the judge swings by your pad on a Saturday. You go there Tuesday at noon.
Wait.
Leave whatever job you have. You go get in line. And the chicken-ass cop who wrote me the ticket obviously didn't show up because he had, not a leg to stand on or wasn't interested. And I won. Well, here's
just
what I won.
Just because he didn't show up.
He didn't show up, so I won. So here's what I won. What I win, I didn't have to pay $100 or $80 or whatever it was.
Lost.
What I lost.
4 days of work.
Was three, four days of work, yeah, and a bunch of trips back and forth to the courthouse. I won. Now, here's the way it should work. A, if you win, then you should get paid whatever it is they wanted you to pay. That's how it should work.
That'd be winning.
You said I did something. You won $87.50. I say I didn't do it. And if we figure out I didn't do it, you pay me the $87.50. Otherwise, what's to stop you from handing out these things all day, every day? Answer, Drew?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. That's why they do it.
What did you tell the judge?
What?
Did you tell the judge? You complained?
Yes.
What'd he say?
And here's the thing. I want to sue your ass.
What did the judge say?
They don't know. They're not very sympathetic to irate citizens who are tired of their chicken ass.
What did he say? Anything?
No. It's just whatever. I was just standing there in court looking around for the idiot who wrote me the ticket. And the guy never showed up. He just slammed the thing and moved on to the next.
He wouldn't talk
the
to
next,
you?
The next whatever. Well, I don't know. I told him this is a nonsense. Yeah. And it's just on to the next thing. So it's not like I want to approach him in his chambers or something. They got a whole line of idiots they've written chicken ass tickets to. They have to get through that day. But the problem is I lost 3 days
of
work.
I know you should be complain about that.
You just should be able to get the money back. I need to be reimbursed. You wrote a zero chicken ass ticket, and for that I took 3 days off work. There you go. Now, the good news is I've gotten 7,000 hours of radio talk time about it. But the idea that they wrote me a ticket in the crosswalk at a signal. And everyone I know has passed through Burbank has gotten one of those. And that's why I hate that place. And here's the thing. Here's all I'm saying. It's time to take the streets back. And not from the criminals, from the cops who then need to take the streets back from the criminals. So here's my move. We'll take the streets back, not from the gangbangers, from the cops with the chicken-ass tickets, and then you guys go ahead and take care of the gangbangers.
I mean, take your detail off the citizens onto the criminals.
Yes. Let's shift the focus from harassing taxpayers to going after crime. I know it sounds wild.
Crazy.
It sounds crazy.
Hey, we lost Tia because of all your
abuse
towards her. I wanted to
screw
talk to her.
Her.
She lost her sex.
Asked her eight times why she got into treatment.
Every alcoholic does that.
Well, good. I'll hang up on every one of them. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hello?
That's what I'm talking about.
Sharon?
Am I on?
There we go.
You're 18. What's up?
Hi. Hey. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that, you guys are awesome.
Thanks.
I think you guys are just, the best. You know, everything you say is, right on with my beliefs as well.
Thanks.
So, basically, I was just wondering if, I don't know, I think I might have OCD. Mm-hmm. I get really obsessive, with things, like, as far as, like, well, lately I've just been, like, I haven't been able to be alone. Like, I've been, like, starting relationships, like, one after the next, like, not even getting done with the last one. Like, I've been really afraid to, like, kind of just be alone. So
You've never been like that before, and all of a sudden you became that way?
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's just the way it's been manifesting itself right now, or...
Well, how does it usually manifest?
Well, I don't know. I just know that, like, before I used to, like, be, like, really, you know, into being, like, a neat freak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, since I've become older, you know, it's been more like this, like, for probably about the past 6 months.
I don't see that these things are related in any way. It's just, you're 18, you start having relationships, and you're having difficulty really being sort of healthy about it. You're compulsively going from one to the another, and yeah, I don't know what's why they're failing. What's happening in these relationships?
Well, also, I'm like, I usually only go for much older men.
How old?
Like 30s, 40s.
You're 18?
Yeah. And
how many guys over 30 have you had sex with?
Probably like two. Yeah.
It's not a ton.
Well, yeah, but older, it's been like more like three. In the 40s, probably.
Oh, older. Ooh. Oh, in their 40s.
Yeah.
Yeesh. You've had sex with three guys over 40.
In their 40s.
In their 40s. Over. That would be over 40.
That would be over.
Yeah.
Over.
She thinks of over 40 as 50.
I see. Yeah. I see. All right. I'm not going to punish her. All right. How old is the oldest guy you've had sex with?
46.
Wow. Yeah. Great pubes. What's happening? All right. Well, they must be stoked, those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to worry about those guys.
Yeah.
Who are those guys?
Ooh,
well, Sharon, so you don't
who are those guys?
Yeah, you don't find people to have relationships with.
All the guys in film industry who aren't gay.
So you're, I mean,
that's who those guys
are. You're basically
are.
Just acting out sexually. This is not about not being alone. This is about being sexually compulsive.
Oh, okay. So I don't even know what to do about it. I just, like, I obsess about things like this all the time.
Well, give us some history. What went on? What happened here?
As far as my relationships with guys?
Yeah, or growing up?
Past.
Well, okay. I know you guys are probably going to ask this. Well, my dad was alcoholic.
Okay.
So mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has anything.
Was he abusive towards you?
Yeah, he was.
What did he do?
Well, he hit me and stuff. And all also, right. I'd find that growing up, I had, like, no emotional attachment to my parents whatsoever.
Hmm. Why?
Well, it's just like, I guess, like, my parents, they just never really, like, talked to me or anything. Like, even
no, they weren't emotional.
And now she's getting attention.
Well, now you sound like you have an anxiety disorder, really, more than anything.
Like, I have an anxiety problem.
Yeah, Sharon, why don't you see somebody? I mean, this is something that's quite treatable. You need to form an attachment to somebody, work through some of these feelings, learn to have a relationship with somebody, i.e. a therapist, and you'll start to attract and be attracted to healthier people. And these are not even relationships you're having now. There's some sort of attempt to basically recreate the past or make good in the past, the abusive, unavailable dad. And what you end up doing is being with guys that are abusive and unavailable and old who remind you of your dad. And pow, you just recreate the same trauma all over again.
Good times. David?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, you're 23.
How you doing? I just wanted to say that I respect you guys very much and listen to you every night.
Thank you, David. We appreciate that.
Sure.
And your Rams today, by the way.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Rams. Let me look. All I ask, I ask for two things. Could the goddamn Patriots lose a goddamn game? Could they just lose one game?
Yeah.
And could the Rams beat a crappy team for the home opener or for the season opener? Answer, no. That's all. Thursday, I was like, look, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for one of these two things to happen. Either the Pats just lose. Could they just please just lose one game? Or could the Rams win? Or, you know, of course, I couldn't hope for both.
No.
But just be one or the other.
No.
And those are really, the opening of football season this week, those are the only two thoughts I have had. I've had no other thoughts than it'd be nice if the Pats lost for a change, and it'd be nice if the Rams won. Well.
Sorry.
There you go. And that's why I don't gamble. Go ahead, David.
I have a 3-year-old little girl, and me and her mother split up when she was about a year and a half, 16 months or so. I searched for him for about a year. She kind of hid from me. Yeah. I finally found her, and I, through a private detective, and I've got a case open for a custody battle on her.
Wow.
I found... Go ahead.
Wow, it's just awful.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, I found that she's been being abused. The GAL that's involved in the case has given me temporary custody for her.
GAL? Some arbitrator or something?
Well, the mom's been doing it. For instance, whenever I started getting my custody, such as my every other weekend with her, I got her one time with the whole right side of her face was bruised.
Ugh.
And she was almost three. She wasn't quite three yet. There's been several other instances. You probably don't have time for them.
All right, what's the question for us? Got the picture.
What can I look for? What is going to happen with her? What can I do to help her through this? Because I hear you guys talk about, you know, messed up children and what their parents did to them. What can I do to help her?
It comes up on occasion. was your wife physically abused?
Sure.
Yes, she was.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming
that's
she
the
was.
The circle of life.
Yeah.
You can't stop that.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, there are going to be repercussions, I mean, emotionally for the kid. The good news is you got to her early enough.
Yeah, right. And you want to create some stability. And you're going to have to create tremendous structure around your wife. I don't know that I would pull the child away from mom because that child, that's her mom. That's, you know, even though the mom is being abusive, those children want to be with their mom. The problem is containing the mom, getting the mom treated, supervising the mom, and not letting her abusiveness be acted out any further. And I think threatening her with legal action, keeping it very the visit supervised, whatever needs to be done, do it.
Yeah.
And keep things stable.
Here's the thing I realized, too. When you hire a private detective, it means things are going very well in your life or things are going horribly in your life. I mean, you're either a super rich person who's investigating some other company that you're thinking about buying out or something, or it's just some kind of white trash thing where you think the guy's, your old lady's banging the supervisor from work. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You really run the gamut in the private detective thing.
Yes, yes.
You know what else it's like? It's like outdoor shower.
Yes.
If you have an outdoor shower, you're either filthy rich or dirt poor.
Yes.
Would you take that? Like if I said to you, Drew, you can change lives with a person who has an outdoor shower. Be like, one hand you're picturing sprawling villa with an outdoor shower. Other hand, it's just a hose hanging off a roof.
That's just a hose.
Yeah.
Hose bib.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I think worldwide, the hose bib is probably much more common.
So you wouldn't go outdoor shower.
Just statistically, I'd
stay away from the outdoor shower.
That's why I don't gamble, as you said earlier.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Interesting how the very rich and very poor have a lot in common, just in many, many ways.
Well, they have, they both, here's the thing about super rich and super poor. Outdoor showers, they both have an outdoor shower. They both have upholstered furniture outside of their home.
Mm.
Super poor's got that sofa on the porch.
Absolutely.
And super rich have this, you know, lovely, you know, the chaise lounges with all the pillows and all that kind of stuff.
They share the mental illness. They share the kid problems.
Yeah.
They share the drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's ironic about the very rich and the very poor, they both own multiple automobiles. Now, middle class families have one or two cars.
Yeah.
Super poor people have nine cars.
Right.
They're all up on blocks and they're rusting out, but they're on the front lawn, but they have nine cars.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know why only rich people and then dirt poor people have multiple cars. Everyone else just has one or two cars.
Well, you're going down that pass. Why don't you examine that a little bit?
Mm-mm. I'm working the rich route, though, baby. Yeah. Literally.
Millionaire.
Literally. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And to reiterate, all callers you get on the air tonight who are over 18 will receive two tickets to see Cry Wolf. You Lie, You Die. Cry Wolf in theaters everywhere this Friday. Also, those of you that win...
Ubangus Uranus.
All those of you that win will get qualified to win a trip to see Block Party, who has made the soundtrack for this film. And anywhere in Europe you want to see them, you'll be flown out there to see them. It says, I don't know how many tickets you get, it doesn't say. Mm-hmm. Winners will be announced next Sunday for the European trip. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie about people, some students that create a online cyber murderer who comes to life. Okay. Sort of Weird Science meets Nightmare on Elm Street.
During the bathroom break, Drew and I were trying to figure out other similarities, other things that super rich and super poor shared. And, you know, before we left, we were talking that super rich people have multiple cars.
And outdoor showers.
And super poor people have multiple cars, yep. Although they're rusted out and they're up on blocks.
Still multiple cars.
Middle class people have one car, maybe two cars. And outdoor showers was one of them. Upholstered furniture that is outdoors. One is an old sofa that's on the porch, and there's just, you know, very expensive poolside patio furniture and all that. We're trying to think of other similarities between super rich and super poor. And here's just a few we came up with. One is the namesake. There's a lot of, you know, Thurston the Seconds and Thurston the Thirds. Super dirt poor people name their kids after the dad. And so do super rich people. Middle class, not so much.
Leaving a Gestrel Jr. Ethanil Estradiol III.
They both burn a fair amount of wood.
Yes.
Now, the super poor do it to heat. You know, whatever little trashy trailer and cook they're in. But super rich have a lot of fires and stuff in their big manners. Mm-hmm. Again, middle class don't have that many fires and fireplaces. They have heaters. That's right. Both men tend to F around on their wives. They call it a mistress, and they just call it a whore.
Next door, the lower class.
The lower class just calls a hooker, slut, a whore, whatever. Rich guys call it a mistress. But either way, super rich guys and super poor guys.
More likely
to step out on the old lady than the middle class. Also, interesting one that Drew brought up was alternative to medicines or alternative medicines. Now, super poor guys just, you know, they boil some root and they drink that, and grandmama says this will cure you for what ails. And then the rich guys just get the enemas.
Well, they have crazy practitioners and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they get their chakras aligned and stuff like that.
And in this part of the country, they have the very poor has the curanderos.
Well, what
they
is
do,
that?
They do the cupping and all that crazy stuff.
Oh, the cupping,
stuff.
Yeah. And the rich have, like, the homeopathic sort of nonsense.
By the way, the cupping thing, we treat severe burns. It does nothing. It creates a burn.
It's the cupping thing?
Oh, it's awful.
You mean where they do remove the oxygen from a cup and they put it on your back.
And it makes a
suction.
It creates a blister, which is a burn, the second degree burn.
Well, you know what it does.
And then people go, oh my God, it's the toxins coming out of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding? If you looked at that stuff, did a molecular analysis on that.
Come on.
It's pus.
Yeah,
it's
true.
It's just the
come
burn.
On. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, buddy.
I'm the man.
Yeah, you're the man. Yeah. You know what? Because you're a white guy and you have an education.
Right.
So you don't know what you're talking about. Right. Here's the deal.
Right.
Your body is filled with toxins. Do you understand? We live in a toxic environment.
I love the toxin term comes into everything and it means nothing.
But Drew,
it has zero meaning.
Zero meaning to you, but tell that to me tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off at 8:15 and I don't feel like getting out of bed. You know why?
Toxins.
Here's the thing. We live in a toxic environment. You understand? And those toxins, they build up in your body. You ever feel tired in the morning?
Yeah.
You ever feel like you want to take a nap?
Yes.
Some days you just feel a little irritable, maybe not yourself.
Yes.
Toxins.
Oh, my God.
They're built up.
I've got to get these out of my
system.
We
live in a toxic environment. And the way God created your body is it only retains toxins, evidently, because everything else goes right through it. So if you ate an Eggo, all the nutrients of the Eggo would pass right through. The toxins remain.
Interesting.
And the toxins, your body stores toxins.
Fabulous.
Now, you walk around. Well, eventually you get filled with toxins. You can barely move.
You know what I love is I'll take these people.
That's why you need the animal. That's why I got to put a hose up your ass.
Lengthy stories about the toxin. I go, well, what is a toxin?
It's everywhere.
Give me the name of one chemical or the structure or exactly how it works biologically, biochemically, physiologically. Well, I'm not a doctor. What do you expect?
I know I'm filled with toxins, and you know I'm allergic to peanuts, and also, also you know these these indoor environmental. I have environmental allergies too. So this carpet
mold
makes me tired.
Mold.
Yeah. Mold. Let me ask you a quiz. Mold. 18 months old or 18 billion years old?
18 billion.
Okay. But we only noticed it 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Mold's probably the first form of life on the planet, really. There's nothing that people haven't been living with mold longer than.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing. Rich versus super, super poor. They both tend to eat stuff that they may have shot or killed.
Right. Right.
Because super rich guys go out pheasant hunting.
And eat it.
And they eat that. Yeah. And then super poor guys just either roadkill or they get shotgun shoot a turkey or something like that.
It doesn't have to be land animals. Think about it.
A lot of fishing with poor people.
And
yeah.
rich people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Middle class, don't eat so much stuff they shoot. All right, you ready to rock?
Let's go.
Let's talk to John.
What up?
25?
That's right.
What's up?
I just have this problem when I'm with girls that I get extremely jealous when it comes to them going out without me, obviously.
You mean when you have a girlfriend or just somebody you might be dating?
Girlfriend.
How
is this girlfriend?
This current girlfriend or every girlfriend you've ever had?
Well, I've had two girlfriends within the past since college, which was 4 years ago. So two girlfriends in the past 4 years. One of them actually just ended recently. And the reason was because I got extremely jealous that she went out one night.
All right. Now, John, at 17, this would be normal. You know, 17-year-old guys are beaked up on testosterone.
Yeah.
They don't have a sense of themselves yet. They feel threatened by every other guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not used to being in relationships. But you get over that, certainly, I'd say, by 25.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, Adam?
At 25,
you should be pretty much over that by 25.
Well,
you
still have some...
Some testosterone going through
your veins, but you should be more reasonable about these sorts of things.
Right. Now, maybe you're with somebody who has proven herself to be untrustworthy, and mm-hmm. that's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing was, my very first girlfriend in high school, just the way it ended was basically she one day called me and said, you know what, I don't love you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I'm...
Well, guess what? That's what happens to every high school relationship. Somebody calls somebody and goes, we got to stop this.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, but
One day, it was actually 2 days from my 17th birthday.
Your left hand called in?
It called me into the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They both called you in, both your left and your right hand?
Well, no, not just my left hand.
Oh, that's the one you were with at the
that's
time.
That's the one I was with. Yeah, the right hand, or as I call it, the magazine hand, did not... was not there for that. I had to break the news to him.
Oof,
of course, that was difficult.
Yeah.
Well, of course. And what do I need a magazine for if the left hand is gone?
He's going to feel inadequate now.
Yeah, you understand. If I don't have a car, what do I need a pit crew for?
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So my left hand called me into the bathroom. That's where we used to meet.
You and your left hand?
That was our place.
Wow. Very romantic. Very.
Well,
one particular bathroom or any bathroom?
My dad's house.
Oh, just that one bathroom?
Well, we only had the one bathroom.
Didn't you ever get together in a car like an average teenager?
Well, you know, when you're young and you're frisky and, you know, youth is on your side, sometimes we would get together.
In the car?
Well,
That's disgusting.
It's happened. I think everyone's done it. We were in the Mile High Club. We got together a few different places. But, you know, I got to give it to my left hand for not just phoning it in. And it would have been very easy for the left hand just to dial the phone and call me and say it was over.
It's a little bit unthoughtful or sort of uncaring to bring you into your place, your environment where you consummated your relationship.
Well, that's where we met. That's where we shared a lot of wonderful times together. Memories. Yeah. You know, I knew...
oh, my God. I'm just thinking how bizarre it is. You just renovated. You just drilled out that bathroom.
I knew, I know. House. I know, you know.
Oh, my God. I hope you had some sort of ceremony.
I came into the bathroom, and my left hand was like, look, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, but, you know, when we're done beating off. And it was like, no, that's what we need to talk about.
Uh-oh.
And he'd been another penis. And, you know, the penis had things that I didn't have. Show the hand a world and a lifestyle that I couldn't show the left hand, and she took off with him.
How long ago was that?
That's over 20 years now.
Could I have the right hand's number?
Well, the
left hand, left hand. I mean, I beg your pardon.
A left hand.
Did I say right hand? I mean,
right
I
hand's mean, here. I mean, right. Left hand. I've never spoke to again. I don't know what happened. Last I heard, there was a divorce.
Oh.
There was some abuse. I'd actually gotten a law degree, but then never practiced. And
with all the chaos in their life,
remarried and is living in Oregon.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll see her at the reunion. I don't know if it's him or her. Say him, yeah. Judging by the knuckles, it'd be a dude.
I was gonna say it'd be quite a woman with the hair and the knuckles that way.
Yeah, John.
Yeah.
So you all see, right. We've all gone through our breakups.
Yeah. The question is, why can't you get over it?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's not about that breakup.
Could it be about possibly a parent leaving?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, here's the thing. My dad left to go to work for a year and a half in another state. He couldn't find work here.
Yeah.
So for a year and a half, this was when I was about 14, 15 years old. For a year and a half, I had to deal with seeing him, you know, maybe once every month and a half.
That must have been tough, but that ain't quite it. Yeah.
Look, there's certain guys out there that are just weird and they're just jealous. And there's certain guys
aren't. But most guys that are weird and jealous like that are sort of the narcissistic sociopath type.
Yeah.
They're controlling, angry. They tend to be the violent guys too, wouldn't you say?
That's how my hand was, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
This is not John.
Not really.
John's more the injured, wounded, insecure, empty, you know, guy who doesn't feel good about himself, doesn't feel worth the relationship that he's convinced that she'll take off.
Well, let me give John a little. John, here's the deal, buddy. You need to focus on your life. You've graduated from college. Get your career on track. Get your life on track. Make John as attractive a package you can possibly be. Stop worrying about controlling other people. Make yourself such a bright light that every moth is attracted to it, and then you won't have to worry about this. That's what your focus needs
to
be.
Here's what he heard. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I know.
This can be hard for him.
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Buddy, it's Love Line, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, rock out. Get it on. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, too hard edge, baby. There's one place to go for your love vice. Maybe that show's Love Line, because I'll tell you what, we're straight shooters over here. And I don't care if it pisses a few people off. Lord knows I have. But I'll tell you, man, I shoot fast and I shoot from the hip, fast and loose. That's the way I play. And look, if you want to come somewhere, just get yourself a whole pack of lies and have something to make you feel good about yourself. You come to the wrong place. I'll tell you what.
Oh, wow. Lightning.
I like when shows do that. So, I like when I like this blowhard. Hey, man, I could tell you everything was perfect. I could tell you that this didn't mean anything. I could tell you, but that's not the way I work. I'm a straight shooter. If you can't handle, whenever anyone announces that they're one of these people, here's what, like, when people.
You say it, I'll interpret it.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm a kind of guy who look in the eye and just tell you what I feel, you know, and a lot of people can't handle it because, you know, I speak the truth.
I'm an asshole.
And, you know, I'm a kind of guy who will tell you what I'm thinking. I won't hide my feelings from you.
I'm a narcissistic a-hole.
I will, you know, and a lot of people don't like it because I don't feel like they can handle it, you know.
I'm an angry, rageful, aggressive, narcissistic a-hole.
But I'll tell you the truth. You know, I'm a straight shooter. You know, I'll just look in the eye and I'll tell you what's going on. And, you know, sometimes, hey, I've lost a few friends because of my honesty.
Because of my a-holishness.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all I hear is a-hole, 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 a-hole. And they always go like, some people can't handle it. Some people or everyone. Yeah. I love when people take a horrible attribute
yeah.
or characteristic and turn it into a conveniently positive. You know, hey, I'm a straight shooter, man. Oh, you're honest. Oh, that's awesome. Oh. So let me get this straight. You're very honest person, and other people are so weak and insecure they can't handle that, so they turn on you. No, you're a colossal a-hole. You should shut the F up. Hey, man, I just, you know, I'm straightforward. Now, a lot of people can't handle it.
Strangely, you hear that kind of thing from women more than men.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Because men, when they, enough guys, when men pull that crap,
they
go,
get the
hey,
crap beat
shit,
out of
exactly.
them, and everyone yells
exactly.
at them. Exactly. Yeah. Women. Right. Yeah.
Callie, Kaylee?
Yeah. Heavy set gals from the hood, that's their mantra.
Callie?
I tell how I see yes. people can't handle
what's going
it.
On there? She's
think.
20.
Hey, I'm calling because I've just had a baby 4 months ago. Had catheter, epidural, all that good stuff, and now I have a urinary tract infection, mm-hmm. and it's not going away with all the medicines I've taken. I've been to doctor after doctor, and it's just not going away.
Well, what's the bacteria that's remaining?
I'm not sure. They haven't really told me.
Maybe there isn't a bacteria. Maybe there isn't a bacteria. Maybe you're just having urinary frequency from some other cause. Maybe it's not a urinary tract infection. Maybe it's just symptoms as though you had one.
Mm.
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 And there's a ton of reasons for that, and
yeah,
I'm sure
they
advise you
to do like culture tests and stuff. But the nurse like spilled my pee.
All right. Well, you need a culture. So, you probably don't have a urine infection. You probably have some sort of mechanical problem or muscular sensitivity, like a spastic bladder, or they need to do a cystoscopy on you and these sorts of things. And there are medications that can help with this. It's not an uncommon thing after what you've been through.
Matthew,
hey, what's going on?
23.
Yes.
Hand can't stop shaking.
Yeah, they can't stop shaking. I don't know what it is.
Both hands?
Yes.
Do you do drugs?
I used to. I've been clean for 18 months today.
What was your drug of choice?
Everything.
Tremors are very common after you've done drugs.
Oh,
very common.
This was years before I ever done drugs.
Oh, you had it before.
Mm.
Well, and there are genetic causes for this and familial tremors and things. And what's the name they've been giving this one?
They haven't.
Shaky
I've
Jake.
Had three doctors, and they don't know what it is.
Yep. Yeah, no. I'm sure they gave
it.
They
got to give it a name.
They gave it some sort of. This is probably
No, nothing like that. Seriously.
Well, then it's probably a familial tremor.
I mean, that's what your family.
What?
A familiar trauma.
Tremor. Yes.
Familial.
You inherited.
Yeah, family does it.
Oh, okay.
Familiar
I'm
family.
Sure,
that,
by the way,
thing,
I guarantee you each of those doctors had a provisional diagnosis for that tremor.
Well, they'll give something a title.
They will say it's probably fill in the blank. Here are the possibilities. Mm-hmm. That's the way you're trained to think as a doctor. So it's no way you just go, oh, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no idea, then it's a more serious issue.
There's probably a guy out there named Phil in the blank. You know
what
I mean?
Let's find him.
Yeah, like, well, what's his name? Well, his name is Phil up in the blank. Maybe it's a French guy or something like that.
In the blank. In the blank.
Yeah, we call him fill in the blank. Yeah. We're going to meet him and Dick Nibbler for lunch.
God.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this. That's a love line. We're going to take a 22-hour break, but we'll be back tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Love Line is Annie Golden. Love Line is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.